things bigger. Basically, the larger the suitable size scale. Characterizes that space. So, one thing. Anyway, so this. If you just take this picture manually, there's a lot of problems. One is that, so the temperature, as you go backwards in time, you have the temperature increasing very, very sharply. And so the earlier you go, you get to higher and higher temperatures, which isn't necessarily a problem. But one of the big things that people were worried about whenever inflation was limited was that if you have very early universe phase transitions, whenever you decouple the granular five theory into strong nuclear force in the weak, the electro weak. One of the things that a lot of theories predicted was the existence of monopoles, which people don't worry so much about now, but it's basically, one of the things that we're looking for is a magnetic monopole, which is, we generally think of being electrically charged particles. But not magnetically charged particles. You have magnetic, magnetic dipoles. But you can't have just like a negative, something with a negative D field charge where you have a moment. So whenever you draw electrons, you can draw electric field lines that like this curve. This all comes straight out. Then let's go on to end anywhere. So if all the sources, all the known sources of magnetism, are a dipole or something. The field lines float on the line. So one of the great questions was, so this by itself is interesting, why there's this age. And the simplest resolution to this, I can just tell you before I'm not going through it, is that if in the universe, if in the universe there existed ever one magnetic monopole, then you can prove that the electron charge had to be quantized in the way that, so the smallest electrical charge is held by single quark has a third of the electron. And this is sort of a strange thing, how come it's quantized in this particular way? It turns out, through an interesting argument, due to Schwinger.
How do you spell that?
S-C-H-W-I-N-G-E-R. Anyway, he came up with this argument that where, or was it, or maybe it was either him or Dirac. I'm not sure.
Dirac is D-I-R-A-C.
Anyway, one of them came up with this argument that where if you ever had a magnetic monopole, and if angular momentum was quantized, which at that time, long lens, that angular momentum is quantized, and the magnetic monopole plus spin statistics implies the existence of electrical conductivity, which is a cool argument, which I can't remember.
But it doesn't necessarily, logic doesn't work the other way necessarily.
Not necessarily, but a lot of people thought, and so the interesting thing is that in a lot of these grand unified theories, combined with force, you did find monopoles. Basically, the monopole is not a particle in the usual sense, but it's a field configuration such that it's what's known as an instanton. So it's a spontaneous it's a point where the old phase is retained, but everywhere else is in the new phase. So you should have, like, if you concentrate flux into a point. So it's sort of a hard concept. But the simplest version of this is a defect. The simplest version of a defect is a domain wall or a phase. So that if you had basically like, this is going far afield from when I was in show theory. If you have ice form And you go from water, which has a continuous symmetry in all directions, to a lattice symmetry, right? Whenever ice. And this is rock. Ice. You can't have cracks in rock. You're going to crack. And so, an exact analogy only with minus two dimensions, or minus two dimensions. That if you go from a particular symmetry, if you go to from some larger symmetry and you break it, then you can have points in space where basically all directions from that point have a gauge field. Or have a electric field on its point. It looks like a particle, but it's not a discrete particle in the usual sense. But it's like a crack. It's just sort of a place where over here the field is all smooth. Over here the field is all smooth. Everywhere the field is smooth, except that right at this point, the field lines all converge to a point.
Okay.
So it's just sort of like outside. It's just a smooth low energy field, and at this point.
Just one thing I was thinking about, if you just have electricity alone without magnetism and then add in the laws of just special relativity to the universe, doesn't that cause all magnetism?
You can think of it that way. But the thing is that it's just a question of whether there's any independent sources. So the laws of Maxwell's equations are the differential side, equation side, and then there's a source side, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, so we know that there's electrical sources. And all of the magnetic sources are the form where it's a quadrupole. You have to have just some net, either it's like a moving electric car.
Right.
So this is all. B is always source by E. So anyway, there's no reason why you can't just have magnetic fields work just the same. The Maxwell's equations would have manifest symmetry if you had both magnetic and electric moments. But the only reason we don't put that term in is because we don't have it. We don't see any. The equations, the form of the equations, we treat them both exactly.
So to this point in time, is there any argument why we shouldn't have magnetic monopoles?
No.
Okay. So it's just empirical.
But like we see this, I mean, it's not the same as symmetry, obviously, but we see a similar asymmetry in time and space. Right? Because, you cast Maxwell's equations in terms of the same form as, you can do that. And you have, your time as a special type of zero.
Yeah, but magnetic field isn't special in itself.
Yeah, well,
time is much more special.
I think it's the only difference about time is that in the metric it's negative while the other three are positive. It's, you could imagine space that has, three negative. And then one positive, but this would look just like ours with that one acting like time.
Sure. Okay, so this is all, I'm just giving you some history, but this is a thing that's not covered in talks anymore. So this was like circa 1980. Thinking about this was really important.
So could you remind me why R is linearly depending on something?
It's not.
It's not. Okay. That's
right. This is L, but I'm not drawing it with linear on some scale, but the scale is not necessarily linear.
It's monotonic.
What?
Is it monotonic?
It is monotonic.
So why?
Does it have to be?
What?
Is this a three-dimensional question?
Yeah. So we just turned out it's monotonic. There's no reason it has to be monotonic.
That's one model that we thought for a while would be the eventual fate or possibility, but turned out not to be the case.
Yeah, there's no reason it has to be remain on
it's time. Also possible we could have a big bounce cosmology.
No, there's an actually.
Okay.
Depending on how much, there's going to be a talking error. The only problem is that if you have these mathematical monopoles, they get formed at such an early time that, and this is where we actually get equations, that basically, okay, so the Friedman equation, right? Minus 1 over r squared. If you have a universe with characters degree of r, this is the whole. So you can see that when this the change of this, there's no reason that r can't be decreased. This is the version of the r. And that can be rewritten. But the thing that people were worried about was exactly this, is that if you had a large amount of energy, and then you rewrite this, you fall anywhere. Where this is today. And then you rewrite this equation in this by defining all of them properly. This is the amount of matter in the universe. And this is the amount of radiation of carbon. Where these have been defined exactly in this way. If you basically set this equation such that r goes to infinity. Basically, you don't have you have an exactly flat universe, and you get a special row, which is equal to 3h squared over 8π2. So this is a special row. So when you put this in, this is, of course, this term is. That's a critical density for the universe as well. So if you take the root of matter and divide by the root critical, you get omega this. Radiation energy divided by the mass of the anyway, so basically, the amount of curvature you have in the universe is 1 minus the so the question we can ask is, so all the different problems with the standard model are the same, but basically if you all of a sudden introduce a lot of energy density into here. You can basically, if you make this row too large any time, then you have to get a compensating small radius to balance it for a fixed. So if you have some mechanism where you turn some other form of energy into a form that's rotating this way, you can induce the universe to become, or you would have a universe that had a small r, which would be one. If they have, and if you have a universe that's forced to have a small r, and that's the universe that's going to pull out. So we know that the universe didn't cause very quickly. So I'm abbreviating the argument really rapidly, but this is, so you, if you form these things, it turns out the formation of these would be like putting a lot of energy into the form of matter, because the matter always scales like 1 over when you scale back to q. Because any heavy matter.
How is that equivalent to adding a lot of matter density?
That's the part that I'm just going to apply. It turns out that it's sort of like, just it turns out that you can work out that way. But
you're basically, you're taking like radiation density and you're turning it into matter density.
No, it's just you sort of, the energy is not conserved. So basically, if you have too much, if you suddenly at any time have too much of this, and you have we have to, you know, with a lot of hurt.
So why? We are assuming that there wasn't any collapse before. Okay. You're assuming that it was just an expansion. So why? Why this assumption? There might be some collapse. Might have been some collapse.
Well, you mean like a collapse Earth in one time?
Or yes. Well, after the Big Bang, we had a collapse.
Well, or it's more like a Big Bounce cosmology is one.
Yep.
So you're looking into where before it extends both infinitely into the past and future, and then at some point in the middle, it collapsed down to a point.
The problem there is that there's no known way to emerge from a single if you collapse. There's no way to, nobody knows how to get out of the collapse. You're stuck. Plenty of people try. You can do your whole career. But as far as of yet, there aren't any accepted ways of getting through.
Because with the recent idea of this cyclic universe.
Yeah, that's one of the ways that they're trying to
So they can't imagine such a thing.
You can imagine it, but you can't. But they can't. They just assert you can't. They haven't actually demonstrated.
Well, isn't what about time symmetry? If you can get in, can't you get out?
Not necessarily. There's no time symmetry when it comes to the beginning of time.
So I mean,
but it's not the beginning. It's the middle of time.
Yeah, we are assuming that there was always this expansion. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about such a long time ago, but how can we make such?
Well, we do what we can. So the point is this: when we take the point is that this is actually exactly the right point, which is this equation we know works now. So you get an interesting problem if you take this equation and you run it back to the power.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it just comes from the fact that curvature feels like 1/a², whereas everything else. Scale of different powers of the scale factor. But curvature is sort of a different thing, right? Because curvature is a special thing because it's actually it's something about the geometry of space. So essentially the thing you want to say is this that so we just say if I go into the very distant universal past, when I make a quite small, and I can go to a time when this all played into proximal people. Anyway, so this is a lot bigger than this. And I just have to ask. And so
that mechanism there is the mechanism of creation of matter in the early universe. Those monopoles are considered as matter.
Yeah. The thing is that they redshift like matter. The point is that they dilute in the same way, which is that the density just goes down exactly as the volume. The one of the volume.
Mm-hmm.
The volume is bigger than the density. That's the distinguishment for radiation. It goes down like 1/11 times 1/11 because they also radiate. So these don't. The point is these don't. They carry most of their mass just in the ground.
Mm-hmm. And in what field do we study those phenomena?
It's supposed to be particle
physics.
Particle. The fashion's gone away from thinking about monopoles years ago, but it's still a relevant thing to know about. So it used to be in grand unified data models.
So how does the
before supersession?
How does inflation solve that for month?
So inflation, well, let me get to the flatness problem, which is basically let me just cut ahead to the flatness problem, which is that if you rewrite this equation, I'll figure out a nice way to do it, but I can just tell you that if you rewrite this equation as 1 minus omega naught today, this is today, the curvature today, then if you run that back into the past, it's going to be basically 1 minus omega f. That's scale factor. Times omega radiation over f. If you just ignore matter, because you go to the farthest past. And so what that means is that you can do though is you can say that if this today is like 1%, let's just say that we was almost flat but not exactly. And that would mean that, but if you go back to a time when like sometime we know that we have control over the physics, like if you go back to whenever the so very early universe, basically, scale factor, if there's like the temperature today divided by the temperature then, and so of the background radiation, the temperature of the background radiation today is just 3 Kelvin, and so if you can run it back to some ridiculously early time, it'd still be well within control physics that we. So that we don't expect anything to have broken down. And for instance, if you take the temperature to be about a MeV, mega electron volt, then basically this becomes 10 to the 15. And so to have had 1% curvature today, you would have had to have 10 to the minus, the curvature at that time be 10 to the minus 15. So basically, the point is that the structure of the Friedmann's equations are that if you're not flat, it wants to pull you away from being flat. If only exactly flat things stay flat. Everything else wants to occur. It wants to become either negative or positive. And so, to this, plus the fact that you had this other tendency with monopoles, if you had one of these phase transitions for you, complementary in this way, the equilibrium of the universe is that people thought that there was some fundamental problem with how come the universe is basically flat or close to flat. You know, if this is.
You know, so, what is the significance of this 10 to 9 16?
So, the point is that if this today, so right, today we know that the universe is close to the critical energy,
okay.
We can measure that.
Okay.
And the point is that, but if using this equation, we can run that back to figure out how close to the critical energy density the universe was.
Mm-hmm.
Then. So like some early time, whenever the universe temperature was like an MeV,
mm-hmm.
which is well controlled but early, then this factor would be like 10 to the 15, which would mean that the universe is critical, would have to be within 1 part of 10 to the 15 critical energy density then. Because as it runs forward, we're less sensitive now than we were. So like if the universe were at half today, like we're exactly half today of the critical density, would have had to be tuned still to 15 decimal places at this early time, such that it would sort of expand out today to be exactly what the density is.
I think the point is
it should have been pretty flat.
Yeah, it had to be. For the universe to be anywhere close to being flat today, it would have had to be exceptionally finely tuned to be flat early on.
Yeah, but it's just a conceptually a problem, but it's an initial value problem.
So yeah, it's an initial value problem.
So yeah,
why
I'm just thinking of, what if there's some geometrical reason outside the scope of our understanding the universe has to be perfectly flat?
It could be. We can come up with a good one. I mean, this is the inflation. This is the best one we have.
Yeah. Which would get close to flat and Yeah. When we get to it, it argues why it would have to be close to flat.
Anyway, so both of these problems, plus the fact that if you also look in the sky, and if you look in that direction and that direction, you'll see the cosmic microwave background radiation at the same temperature. Then if you go through this another argument, you can prove that that patch of the sky and that patch of the sky have never been in causal contact. In history. Basically, for here and here.
For a regular notebook.
Yeah. Basically.
Well, at the point of the Big Bang.
The point of the Big Bang. But the point is that the universe has expanded faster than they've had chance to talk. So if you sent a light ray back in time from here and here, they would not meet before the Big Bang. So the Big Bang has to sort of have a finite spatial extent in some sense. Anyway, all of this is to say, if you just manually run it back, you end up with monopoles, you have the exceptionally finger flatness, and you have another explaining back to the universe's temperature is exactly homogenous to many decimal points, several decimal points, about 5 decimal points. And the idea was that if instead of having the universe expand like this, if the universe did instead, that it basically had an early period where the Hubble size was fixed for a period of some period of time. But it's the interesting fact about, so instead of L, I thought H, that the Hubble size is exactly constant. If I put a constant into this equation, then A basically is equal to dA dt, kind of constant. Right? Or A. So that means that dA over A is equal to H naught dt, right? And so I can just integrate this. And so that means log of A goes like HT. That means that the scale factor goes like the exponential of E times H naught. So if the Hubble size is constant, if the physical Hubble size stays constant for a while, everything else in the universe gets exponentially stretched for as long as that lasts. And so it turned out, if you say that you have a period where this is true, you solve all of these problems right away. Because if you make these monopoles before you get to this period, then they basically all get diluted so much they don't pose you any problem. And because you have like this long period here, you can have everything come into causal contact.
Monopoles require a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. Monopoles require a lot of energy, like high temperature.
Yeah, they're only formed like the ones that they were worried about back in the 80s had to form at like in the 16 G. At the grand unified, so you just have to make inflation happen slightly lower temperature.
And so, how do we say when this happened?
When
did this happen?
Before everything else.
Why?
Because that explains the problems. And then
because we have the exact time of the inflation, how much it lasted after the Big Bang.
We don't know.
It has to be at least 64.
Yeah, so basically, to solve this problem, the length of this epoch has to be long enough so that you start by getting 1 minus omega to be small enough that you get the omega. And it turns out that means that you have this e to the h of t, which you usually written as n. It turns out tuning has to be, that this has to be, about, you have to expand by about 10 to the 30 times.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that n is like 60. So you have to have 60 equaling, or 10 to the 30, but the universe is scale factor increased by a factor of 10 to the 30 over this period.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, it's a beautiful mathematical method of solving our problems.
Right, and so basically it's replacing a bunch of other problems with a new problem.
Which somehow came to Alan Dodd's mind in one period, at one instant of time, and no one has since gone through other possible solutions.
Well, there aren't any other ones that are not going to solve all of these problems here. The bouncing problem, the bouncing problem, solves the horizon problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't directly solve the monopole problem. It doesn't solve the flat problem.
But what amazes me is that even after the general relativity had many competitors after its birth, but this inflationary theory, even though it's very young, but most people agree with it. 90% of the physicists agree with it, and there is not much competition of other theories.
Right. Well, the problem is not really a theory. It's a paradigm. Basically, you take
is a paradigm. General relativity is a paradigm as well.
It's just all it is though is you just need. It's a geometric. It's a geometric statement. The idea. The universe expanded at this rate for under this period of time. That's a biblical statement. So all you're saying is that, I mean, in some sense, people say one of the ways of looking at it is that inflation is an observation, not a theory. It's just that if we believe everything, if we believe the rest of our theory, then we can infer that we had to have a period like this in the early universe. Now it's just a problem of figuring out how to explain it. And there's not any agreement on exactly how to explain it. But you could call it an observation. So that's the idea.
Well, I mean, the horizon problem is based on the theory that he novels at some beginning. It's like if you had earlier time, then you wouldn't infer that necessarily.
I'm sorry?
You wouldn't infer that period from the horizon problem if you assume that there was T before T.
Right,
So there's a little bit of
instruction. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have to assume something as long as you're clear about what you're. The simplest way. Okay, so the simplest way to do this, which is where it does connect with this dark energy, is that you may remember. I mean, you probably remember from your problem set on Friedman. You had a problem set on Friedman, right?
Yes.
Basically. The change h over h proportional to rho plus 3. And so basically, and in general plus the dark of the unrelated. So these are the two things. So there are basically two ways you can always get, and if you want h. Constant, or you like this to be constant, or if you want h to be decreasing, increasing, or constant, you have to do something funny.
You show state, equation of state parameters.
Yeah, this is
awesome. Exactly.
Anyway, the point is not so much the question, but it's just that what you need is for something with largely large negative pressure to have accelerated. And so this is true both of inflation. But basically, if you have, or
so let's clean this in.
So this is, these are the dark energy ideas for that. Which basically, the thing that's happening, that seems to be happening now, is that, it looks like we're going into a period where A is starting to have this behavior.
You could have an effective negative information.
that violates the null energy.
Okay.
Which I know is if you have null energy, if you violate null energy, you gain it.
If you have negative energy density, you do, right? But if you have like an effective, if you have like a spark voltage, but you still can affect the negative energy density.
That's right, but you have to have some rules in your hand. And not having negative energy density.
Oh, why? What's the problem if you do?
Well, you can make energy.
Okay.
And it's illegal.
The thing is that lots of people think about different ways to make this combination less than
zero. Yeah, I'm going to be defending a theory that has been affected.
Yeah, well, that's in the, but here's a second. Which is not a, you can argue that's not. You're going to want to argue that if anyone brings it up, because you don't want to be violating null energy in the
end. And if we go to your defense, we will bring it up.
Let me get Justin to jump in real quick. Anyway, so the simplest way to do this, though, is or to get this phenomenon is to take a scalar field is nice because a scalar field has a scalar field has this property that it has the potential is minus the pressure. The pressure is minus the energy density. And so if you have rho plus 3p, you have that being minus. You get something that has exactly the right behavior that you want. But that's all, this is only true. So let's write it down. So if you have a universe the homework that I will send you will have more about scalar fields. But case for is and so rho in a scalar field is a scalar about value of the field in this the kinetic energy of the field plus potential energy, which is a scalar field. Right at the level of the action is using my custom all the slogan at the moment. And so then their energy is taken by this. And then means, and this is also equal to their pressure, right? And so if basically if d phi is much less this than d phi, if the kinetic energy in the field is much less than potential energy, then e is about equal to minus e. Also, this is about equal to plus. And this is, you get this. Right? So, then if you start by saying that this looks promising, because you have this possibility, then you have to do something to make this prediction. That's called slow roll, the slow roll approximation. To find out when that can be true, you write down the equations of motion for the field. So, yeah, the total action is So G, which is the determinant. So then,
just a stupid question, what's this potential? What's this scale?
So, okay, so that doesn't matter. Anything that has, okay, so
what
scale,
what does it correspond to?
Yes, so what is, yeah, very much. So what a scalar field is, basically this is the definition of what a scalar field is. Yes, what is this field? This field is anything that is, this is very much about this
practice. And it's related to...
This is the first time I'm going to say. So this is definition. In a like manner, a fermion field is defined by a similar plate, only one that has like proper derivatives for having a fermion mixture. So what really, I mean, there are no, we have observed no fundamental scalar fields. But a scalar field is anything, basically, that has spin free. So it has spin zero. And then it has only, if it's a complex scalar field, it's only 1 or 2 degrees, it has 2 degrees of freedom. A real field is like 1, it's just a single number. It's basically a number in space.
The most simple question, when I wrote the Lagrangian, what's Lagrangian is it? Lagrangian of the
this field phi. So phi, and this is a new energy field. It can be a particle of it, just a fundamental. You can either think of it as a fundamental or a composite field, just like electrons or gravitons or anything that you can write down in the metrics or they obey equation. So you just say a field exists. The base all the time. This one happens to have the form that's characteristic of the scalar field, which is
this is the energy field of the universe.
Right. So this is thought to be the energy field that dominated at in the earliest time.
And how about now?
So the presumption is that for whatever reasons, this year you come up with your complete theory of it, then you'll figure out why it's dominated at the time. I wish I had better answers for that.
No, like my question concerned the definitions, not the physical question. But,
yeah. So just for phi is, I mean, that's it. This the answer. Phi is phi. It's a field that has a value at every point in space. And gradients. Changes in time.
It's so always everyone who talks about inflation draws this the curve, the ball that is rolling on it. So I always had this question: what curve is this?
So the curve is the potential, and the ball is the current dot field value. So it's like if it were a temperature, it would be like the temperature was 70 or 150, whatever. And so you can just if the temperature field is a scalar. So but one other thing, just to say something about scalar fields are very common effective description. So like the Newtonian potential is a scalar. So so the reason why people always draw that draw that kind of curve and think of it rolling down is because the Newtonian potential is in fact a scalar field that has a potential. And then the particles couple to it in particular ways that make them roll down. So the field itself. The Newtonian field isn't self-coupled in this way. But if the field were coupled itself to itself, then the field itself would change in exactly the same way. Fine level.
Yeah. This is more of an intuition for children than anything. You can think of like a ball rolling down a slope.
It really isn't any more to know. I mean, if you're trying to get an experience of intuition, there isn't one.
No, I'm not looking for intuition, I'm just looking for definitions. It's quite so simple. My question is not a deep question or
okay.
anything. It's just, what is this?
So the ball that they draw
yes.
is the value of the field, measured in some units of energy units. So so if the ball's right here, that would be like 10 to the 12 G, just be a particular number. That's it. When the field's value is 10 to the 12 G, then the potential value of the potential of the field would be, or not, I guess it wouldn't be G, something else, whatever the units are, but potential given units. The field value is whatever units. And then this will give a potential value of something like 10 to the 12. And whenever the field has a value of an inappropriate units, then it's of x. This is a number with units. Like temperature, like 75. When that's 75 degrees outside, and the potential energy in the universe is 100 G. That's what it. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay. It's very good. It's an excellent question. The less I cover it now, the more you can do.
Thanks for going.
Anyway, so
that's what you need.
No. I've read something.
Anyway, so then if you minimize this action, I won't go through it. But basically, you get a differential equation for the equations of motion for the phi field. Hi. Are you the speaker at 2?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, you can start setting up. We're finishing this is a course.
It's taking a second or more.
So you get the differential equation that governs the evolution of the value of phi in time. And so it has three parts. There's the acceleration part. And maybe I should have just gone through straight to this because this explains why people draw that ball rolling story. And there's a fourth. And then there's a first. So basically, and you can see where each of these come from. So if you vary this with respect to phi, you have one term like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where this is varied, and then you vary this with respect to phi. So basically, this set generates the derivative.
Mm-hmm.
And then with this variation with respect to phi, it means you have to just integrate by parts that move just derivatives. This derivative can move 2 places minus 0. That's where you get 3 times 8 dot.
Mm-hmm.
Which gives you,
mm-hmm.
or you can measure here, which is where you get the second derivative. This is exactly like the location of a point particle moving in a Newtonian potential. Exactly the same thing. The only difference here is that you get this friction, this particular friction term, which comes from the fact that you have a scalar, a fundamental scalar field that's coupled to gravity. What it means for that's further to find this G here is that it's coupled to gravity.
Mm-hmm.
And that the motion of the whole the metric or the geometry of the universe is going to be changed by what happens in the energy here. Does that make sense? And so because of all that, so if you didn't have this term, it would just be regular motion. Currents, the acceleration would be set by the force. And the velocity would just be the integral of that time. But because of the friction term, what you can just say is that I want to know under what circumstances friction is much bigger than the acceleration. And so that's basically because that, because if I could fed up, then if so what I really want is not that so much. I want phi dot to be much less than the phi dot squared, right? Because I wanted to have this expansion. That's this accelerated expansion. And I also, but what I also want is phi dot double dot just be, you know, small. Because I don't want this. I want this to remain true for long time, right? And so what you can do. I'm not going to do it. But what you will do in your homework is show under what circumstances this is true. And it's pretty simple. You can just demonstrate it. Turns out to be, it tells you something about how steep, like what kind of force you can have. So, and I can just say in simple terms that the simplest way to have this happen is to have, so if you have V is equal to a large number plus, there's some part that depends on phi. Then the derivative of V is like phi. So take this part's going to go away, right? And then you're just going to get something that's like Q n squared phi. This will be some number that depends on the field. And so then if you make, so then if you compare phi dot squared to V, you get phi. So where phi dot is going to be given by dv d phi, more or less. So the force will basically tell you how fast. And so this is, and so the point is though that if this is a big number, and you can always make this small, this ratio small. Or, and the other thing, so that's one of the main things. So the figuring out all the different things you can do this. So I'll close it there. It's very good. But I thought at least those of you have heard it before, it wasn't too well.
I haven't heard the monopole argument. I know it was an argument.
Right, people don't talk about this much anymore. It's not. Okay, gonna, these things have a way of like as
well, because they pinpoint something that can be known.
Well, I mean, the monopole thing, you know, this solves the monopole problem.
I know, but like before it was an issue, right? Like these things exist.
How does it solve the monopole problem?
Oh yeah, so basically this accelerated expansion, you start with one monopole for charges. It basically makes them so rare that they can't problem. John remembers the monopole problem. The monopole problem?
Monopole problem. You don't exist.
Monopoles don't exist?
Mm-hmm.